Great. Okay. So as we prepare for a soft landing, which means refreshments and snacks outside, I can't vouch for caffeine, but I know there will be alcohol and hopefully warm snacks, which at least will appeal to some folks. So I would entreat you to rally for this last 28 minutes or so, so that we can make the most of our time here together and try to make sense of all this stuff that we've put on the table. I said or intended to say at the beginning of the day that this was going to be a challenge, and I think it clearly has been. At least I feel challenged with so much, just this fire hose of information, different perspectives, even trying to get to a picture of what the problem is. Clearly, lots and lots to process in terms of how we understand what we've all talked about today. Similarly, lots to think about in terms of where we go from here. And that means both in the rest of the evening and tomorrow for those who are around for the hack day. So what we want to do is in this session try to make some progress on both those fronts. First, I want to make a couple of quick logistical announcements. One that for those of you who... Is that sort of okay up here? Okay. For those of you who haven't signed up for dinner and are interested in a dinner companion, there are a number of different fabulous-sounding Food for Thoughts dinners proposed on the wiki. You can find them if you go to the Truthiness website. In Vino Veritas, a good debunking page design. What to do what do you care if someone's a bot? And what other questions about identity and motivation? And finally, tractable tools. So there's a series of at least four, and there could be more, and I'd encourage you to sign up for one of those self-hosted, super festive, fun, productive dinners. Next, on the last inside page of your booklet is information on tomorrow's hack day. Anyone is welcome to go. There's a little bit of a description as well as a map. It would be fair to point out that it is not a hack day in the strict sense of hack day. So if you're a stickler for that, sorry. But on the brighter side, it has something for everyone, including, well, I don't know if Ethan will let the cat out of the bag on that one.
No, but think of it this way. It's structured brainstorming around many of the questions that we've been asking today, which is to say it's trying to identify some tractable questions, i.e. moving away from the vast intractable questions, trying to design some small interventions and experiments that could be tried out. Some of them might reach the point where we write some code, particularly if people are coming in with tools that they're already building. In many cases, the output is likely to be a well-sharpened idea, some design sketches, lots of different ways to move forward on this. It's also being very much designed to get people with different skill sets working together. So if you're thinking about going to this and your fear is, I'm not a programmer, I don't know what I'm going to bring to the table, that is not a good excuse not to come. Actually, that's a really good reason to come. We'd love to have people who have experience with coding, but we'd also love people with experience with design, or basically anyone who is interested enough in these issues to have spent the entire day sitting in this room. That makes you qualified to participate. It's over in MIT's Media Lab, which is conveniently located next to Kendall Station. It's 20 Ames Street or 75 Amherst Street. It's a big enough building. You can get in from either side. It's up on the sixth floor starting at noon tomorrow because everybody understands that hackers don't start the day at 9 a.m. And if there are any other questions, please find me right after this or during the reception. I'm happy to talk a little bit more about what we're going to try to do. It's probably going to run somewhere between 4 and 5 hours, but you can duck out at any time, and we'd love to have you there.
And it'll be really fun.
It will be really fun. I would think that goes without saying, but I'm happy that you said it anyway.
So now let's turn what Ethan has helpfully placed in a place that you guys probably can't see, especially if you're sitting in the back of the room. It's something on this side of the board that says takeaways, and on this side it says tractable questions. This is our attempt to have some takeaways from today and B, have some things that we can work on, both in the tomorrow frame and perhaps beyond in the longer term. So I want to ask you guys to start helping us. Perhaps we can begin with the takeaways.
But important caveat on all of this, because we're going to try to get lots of comments in very quickly. This is not a great time to give a closing speech. The remarks are the things that you didn't say. These are Twitter-length takeaways. or tractable questions. And in fact, I now use this enough that one of the tools that I could really use if someone wanted to write tonight was something that automatically checked in a document like this when a question exceeds Twitter length. But please try to limit yourself to 140 characters and either offering a takeaway or a tractable question.
And I think within within those takeaways, I would absolutely include things that help us focus on what the problem is or breaking the problem into pieces, because there are many elements to the problem. Ben, and then Herbert.
I would just say what Chris Mooney brought up earlier about how some trying to rebut facts can make things worse. That was definitely a takeaway for me.
Who's next?
Herbert in the back.
Truth and lies are communicative acts. Communicative acts are sensitive to power. We should prioritize power relationships in developing tools for truthiness.
That's multiple tweets.
But
they're good. They're good.
They're excellent tweets, but you're on three at this point.
Last one. Our search for truth ends at the borders of our culture. We should develop tools, traceable questions. We should develop tools to overcome the borders of our culture.
Language. You facilitate. I'll type faster.
Thank you.
I like it, though. Greg.
Tractable question. How do we protect people on the pointy edge of fact-checking from bad actors?
And what's an example of pointy edge?
Factcheck.org.
Pointy. Okay.
Fidelity to the knowable and spotting what we're not talking about.
Fidelity to the noble.
To the knowable.
Knowable.
The
knowable.
And?
Spotting what we're not talking about.
Takeaway question. What is the fundamental difference between spreading the truth and spreading lies?
Gilad.
Takeaway. Don't only focus on the misinformation, but focus on the system, the larger system. And question, what
data... Is that battle war, or is that...
Instead of focusing on the pieces of misinformation, look at the system of people interacting around that. Tractable question, what data can help us solve some of this stuff? So what data do we need surfaced?
In the middle, and then Tucker.
Can we develop tools?
Mike.
Yeah, this is a tractable question. Can we develop tools to surface context automatically for users?
Tucker, and then Jesse.
In the takeaways, journalists should not consider that fact-checking is not part of their responsibilities. And tractable questions, create crowdsources and crowds to help journalists.
Jesse, and then in the middle, in the back.
Mike,
please.
Takeaway, separate the frame from the fact. And the practical question, maybe, is how to make the relationship between humans and machines less binary and one that is more gradient.
In the back, middle, and then Tim.
Tractable question. Who's trying to influence me? I loved Yochai's question.
Tim and then Esther, did you have one? Okay, Tim and then Esther and then
one
Maya.
That I thought came up was where is the distinction between right and left actually relevant to the discussion, and where is it not?
Esther and then Maya.
Takeaway, need to educate people about how the web works, such as search engines, Twitter.
Takeaway, the building of narratives of reality might be affected by the possibility of major possibility to check facts, but it importantly depends on defining the authority or who has the authority or the fight around authority.
Okay, Josh and then Matthew and then
Alan. A question, how can we best determine what the moment is when someone would be most open to a debunking?
So timeliness. Matthew, Alan, back, and then Sasha.
Not sure if this is tractable to take away, but I liked the call to fact check the true, sorting out how we know something's true, sort of reverse engineering the truth.
Alan?
Tractable question, could we develop a reputation engine to help evaluate trustiness? and not just for policymakers, but for independent validators as well.
No, Peter?
Tractable, how do we help consumers be more judicious about the media they consume, less gullible?
Tractable, can we track the successful shift away from hateful terms and misrepresentative terms to preferred terms for communities?
Kathleen, and then, okay, I got you.
Takeaway, communicate community norms, community discourse norms to television stations through editorials and social media.
Okay, Nick?
Yeah, takeaway, trustworthiness is a hidden variable because we can't directly measure intent or motivation.
Bruno?
How can we reach people who are not actively seeking information, and how can we prevent people spreading misinformation from using the same techniques?
Okay. Jenny?
I'm curious if there's a way to put the filters into the gates where we're actually reading and assessing the information so it's more immediately connected to the experience, so it's not an alter text. And I'm also curious if we ever convene a conversation like this again, if we can have more people with understanding of advertising techniques, because I feel like the commercial components of this weren't as present as the journalism questions, and I think we'd learn a lot from the tactics around commercial.
Ben had a book to recommend on that topic. What was the book? In the back?
Which lies can be spread? So do we know which rumors can spread?
One more time?
Which lies can be spread?
Which lies can be spread?
Which lies can be spread?
Yeah. These two in the Christian, and these two in the middle? Yeah, please. And then Tom.
I would say that a takeaway would be that we need to think about how to encourage critical thinking by citizens when processing fact-checking and misinformation.
A takeaway would be everyone wants to build tools that do smart overlays on results, but what about the algorithm that produces the results?
I think Gilad has already warned us on algorithms. Tom, and then Tom. So growing the truth core. Tom and then Josh, I'm sorry.
I'd like to go back to Ethan's opening discourse and say, as a tractable problem, how can we identify ways to prevent the shots being fired that the bulletproof vest stops? To go back to the source, find ways to do that.
Josh?
How can we convince conservatives that this isn't just a scheme to implant them with liberal doctrines?
Darren?
After today, it's all right.
Did you, was that you? No. In the back, middle, and then Mike.
So.
Yeah, you. Okay. I'm sorry, I can't see.
Takeaway, appeal to people's common sense of justice and the values behind their beliefs.
Mike, and then Gilad.
Just a reminder that we've talked at length about algorithms to regulate speech.
Tractable. How do we use bots for good?
Bots for good. Tim loves it. Jim.
I think one takeaway is there seems to be a trade-off to be acknowledged between the speed of dissemination of information and the accuracy of that information.
And the accuracy of Ethan's typing. Phil, please.
Tractable, perhaps. build tools to engage citizens in assisting with fact checking.
Peter?
Tractable. How do we help these organizations, PolitiFact and others, have their voices become louder, have them resonate more?
So amplification. Sasha?
Tractable. Can we better visualize advertising boycotts in real time?
We're reminded of the powers of visuals. Carla and then Matt.
How do we reach audiences who aren't necessarily looking for fact-checking to have the truth raised to the top in what we do?
Matthew?
Tractable, I think. Measuring filter bubbles, that was something that came up early in the day, knowing when you're outside of your bubble or inside of it.
Jim, and then in the back, then yeah, following him.
Another question is how might we map out the problem space of where truth matters and why?
Takeaway, hashtag meta. The people in this room need the least convincing.
The choir. Is that Austin back there?
Yeah. I'd say that takeaway is it's not necessarily about truth, but about the impact or power of the truth and the lies.
Those of you who can see these, some reflections. How about anyone who hasn't spoken yet today, who wanted to get in a takeaway or a tractable problem? This is your chance. Please.
What is the goal of truth? Is it a knowledge question? Is it an electoral question? Where are we trying to get to?
Looking back on tweets, the importance of net literacy, knowing what a URL is and where it comes from, seemed to be a kind of value-dependent means of dealing with some of these questions.
Judith? Mike, please.
Mike.
We need to be able to map the space of belief versus fact better in order to understand the effect that evidence will have.
It's another tractable. Can we build algorithms that optimize for an informed public and not novel content?
Sorry, good lord. One more time on that.
Can we build algorithms that optimize for an informed public and not necessarily novel content?
How to move truth and fact-based information, which is often dry, above sensationalism, which is more popular and retweeted.
Ken and then Jeff.
Takeaway, pictures will do far more to convince people of the truth than text.
Takeaway, law is unsuited to declaring issues of absolute truth.
Yochai.
Two actionables. How to build a platform to allow people with relatively high skills to critique more sophisticated scientific arguments. And the second is how to embed boycott-worthy information into systems that we use to interact, whether it's scanning on the model that Ellen described of barcodes, or whether it's plugins, but to connect a particular consumer action to a diagnosis of a lean or an intervention that's destructive of truth.
Tim.
As a matter of metaphor, are we looking for a bulletproof vest or a vaccination? The distinction being something that completely blocks falsehood or one that introduces some falsehoods as an effort to make us be able to be better able to cope with that falsehood.
So Mika's happy to be back to the public health metaphor. Paris?
Yeah, takeaway, figuring out who is the liar is the first step to truth.
Sorry, one more time?
Figuring out who's the liar is the first step to truth. Final actionables or Josh.
Can we incentivize truth by increasing the return that people get for being correct?
So this is the flip side of the punishment conversation, the shaming we had earlier. Does that work? Right. More orchids.
The back?
Lucas, yeah.
This is a tractable. When do journalists cite the work of fact checkers to contest claims made by politicians, and what effect does that have on the likelihood that politicians will repeat those claims subsequently, specifically the amplification of the challenge in a mainstream media outlet?
Peter?
We haven't really touched upon what kind of regulatory this is tractable, but you know the FTC monitors advertising, and so is there anything we can do with those regulatory bodies to ensure transparency, ensure transparency? I think so.
So we're not going to regulate the truth, what Jeff told us is bad, but to see what we can do. Mike?
We need to focus on understanding how information spreads online and quantifying that more in a more detailed way.
To which I'd add, we need to look for other data sets apart from the Twitter fire hose.
Matt?
I'd like to argue for the intractable, which is to consider the long-term factors that form our identities and political beliefs over the course of a lifetime even, and how we're socialized so that we don't believe facts when we see them.
On a takeaway, the concept of the marketplace of ideas shouldn't be used to overemphasize fringe points of view. Should not.
To influence the media in 2012, you need to understand what it's like to be within the media in 2012. What do journalists need to do their job? What will they use?
Tractable, how do we identify distortions so consequential that they merit ongoing, relentless, persistent fact-checking and its dissemination?
She is tenacious. Mike? Sorry.
All right. In order to motivate the crowdsourcing of truth assistance, we need to be able to help people understand the cost they will bear from the dissemination of a particular falsehood.
Going. Any last? Oh, sorry.
Can we quantify the relationship between ownership, employment, and framing in different platforms by gender and race?
What can we learn from history, since misinformation happened and spread long before Twitter came along? What can we learn from the John Birch Society?
Not sure if this has been said, but if not, what about fact-checking can be crowdsourced?
How can we understand the different trust networks that are working in scientific reporting with medical consequences, from the receivers of the care to the promoters of the care to the media reporting?
How can we look at using crowdsourcing as a way to triangulate trust and truth?
Jim?
I guess the point was made that, again, back to the marketplace of ideas, is that we shouldn't assume that the marketplace of ideas alone will guarantee a positive outcome?
Well, this is a very good marketplace
of
ideas.
Should we should not
assume. We should not assume that it's going to guarantee that positive outcome. This is an excellent marketplace of ideas here. Ivan.
Yeah, Weissman. I haven't heard the word community used very much today. And I wonder if it's possible, as a tractable idea, to think about how we evolve multiple communities of trust as a human filter that's merged with a technical one.
Make fact-checking profitable.
Bounties.
The fact-checkers. Because we're talking a lot about it, but, I mean, who chooses the facts to be checked and whether we have some people that are going to check these fact-checkers?
I hope it's not Kathleen, but in the back of the room.
So Wendell Potter talked about how easy it is for journalists to rely on PR. How do we make it even easier for them to rely on other sources?
Learn from Wikipedia.
Another community invocation. Okay, what this is... Just having listened to Ethan peck away and you all, this is an amazing list. There's no way, well, maybe Ethan, who's typed it, can offer a reflection on it. I'm gonna give a process reflection on it and more broadly, which is to say that, as some of you may have noticed, there's been live note-taking going on, also live storification of the fabulous tweets that you've put out. There are a series of blog posts up and then more, hopefully, on the way. And would invite you to put more up. We're going to attempt to digest both this list here, as well as the rather copious notes from today's proceedings, and be able to share them out with this group, and I think more broadly, probably on the website, with the idea of helping this conversation to continue both beyond the walls of this room and into the future. So we'll do our best to document, but also really want to invite each of you to participate in that process, to continue with the blog posts or otherwise help us to be fact checkers and help us to get the story right, and to be able to share our learnings more broadly so that they're useful. What do you want to say?
I wanted to add my one contribution to this, and so I'll put it in at the wrong time, but I wanted to say that I thought it was wonderful that we started with Wendell Potter's story, which is in part the story of someone moving from one side of an equation to another, you know, essentially moving from the side of spin to the side of fact-checking within all of this. As we think about these big questions, how do we change a frame? How do we change a language? How do we take on the real challenges that Yochai is talking about, which is not just correcting when it's inaccurate, but really going after those big values and frames? What are other stories we can find of people who made a decision to look at the world very differently? I invite everyone to go out and look at Reverend Richard Cizik, who found himself moving from being one of the leading figures in the evangelical movement to being an advocate for the environment and for gay rights while still being well within the evangelical movement. There are amazing transformations that people have made. There's things that we can do that are far broader than the sort of little tools and experiments that we're going to try out tomorrow. I want to make sure we don't lose sight of some of those very big stories while we think about the very practical and the tractable.
And that seems like a theme for so much of what we talked about today, sort of understanding what are the little battles, what are the things that we can do to break down this problem and sort of, or these problems, and take them on, but at the same time to have that broader perspective, that longer-term perspective that's going to allow us to actually see some sort of change over time. And Denise and others sort of imploring us to think about young people, to think about the next generation, to think about how this works more broadly in society. So I think that's that message is definitely heard. I want to, before we have any final, I want to make a quick round of thank yous, and then I want to ask for any final words from organizer types like Jenny, Sasha, Ethan, anyone else. But as I started to kind of jot down a little list of the folks at Berkman, who we needed to thank, and it's about 25 people long. And that is just to say that to get you guys all in a room and to kind of set up all these fabulous people to come up here and share their work with y'all is no small task. And it happened in the midst of, as someone referred to earlier, a visit by Lady Gaga, Oprah, and who knows what else. So it's been just an absolute pandemonium, but people somehow summoned the energy to try to give you their very best. And I just want to very briefly thank, in no particular order, because they're all fabulous, Carrie, Karen, Alicia, Caroline, Rob, Amr, who is a superstar, John, Becca, Corey, Rebecca, the team of fellows and friends who helped us organize, Judith, Takis, Ethan, Sasha, Aaron, Urs, James, Kara, Jesse, so many people, and I'm sure there's probably 10 more that I left off that list. But it really was a team effort as we tried to wrap our heads around this this gathering and these problems to be able to make a worthwhile use of your time. So a big thanks to all of them, a big thanks to everyone who stood up here and shared their ideas, and a big from this spot, and a big thanks to all of y'all who shared your ideas from and your time from those spots. So that's what I got to say. And any final words from Jenny?
I believe there are drinks outside the door. I want to thank you all for giving so much today. Thank you, Berkman. You always raise the bar. Thank you, everyone in the audience. I mean, I think we could have had another 2 hours worth of ways we'll solve this, and I'm not sure that'll let tomorrow end sooner than 10 hours of time. So
I don't think anyone's going to be able to top that. So.